please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hey, everybody, welcome into Never Not Indeed, everybody, sit back. What the fuck do I, how do I open the show?
Hello, everybody, indeed, welcome to Never Not Funny.
There it is. Hello, everybody, indeed, welcome to Never Not Funny. I've only been saying it for 19 years. All of a sudden, it sounded wrong to me. I was telling Oliver, young Oliver, by the way, speaking of doing this show for 19 years, young Oliver did not know that Mike Schmidt was on the first year of this show.
Yeah.
He did not know that he was, and then I made my usual joke. I said, I go, yes, Oliver, I fired a friend from a free podcast. I've not seen Mike in a while. We got to get Mike back on here. Mm. We have not seen Mike in a while. He's a, we usually see each other. We go to baseball games over the summer.
Right.
But, when he wanted to go see the Phillies and Dodgers, I could not make it. And then when we went down to see the White Sox play, he could not make it. So mm-hmm. I did not get a chance to spend my time with Mike for nine innings at a and the beauty of going to a nine inning baseball game with Mike Schmidt is I don't have to say a word. It's basically
you get a live episode of the 40-year-old boy.
Yeah. With I know he's very open and honest on that podcast of his. If he still even, I don't think he does it anymore. Yeah. But I think I get a few more. But dude, you know, blah blah blah. Like right. I get a little more
some dirt that's not going to be public.
He's not going to be public about maybe somebody that he hangs out with, and I get to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And
the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, it's the stuff that you know, like all of us when we complain about somebody, how it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could share that with somebody. Hey, guess what this fucking guy did? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't affect your life, you're like, oh okay,
right.
I'm sorry you're going through that.
Right.
Thank you. I hope it helped to get it off your chest, but it doesn't stop us all from doing it.
Get it off your chest.
Is that a song?
It is.
By who?
Guess.
Seriously? Oh, is that your friend? Is it Taylor Swift?
Your friend. I believe you recently referred to her as
my sweet Tay-Tay.
Yeah, that's right.
I say it for humor. What album is that off of? The Chess Business.
It's one of the hits from Midnights.
Oh, it's. Off the album, the penultimate.
Oh wait, no, that's not one of the hits. I'm sorry, it's the lead track, I think, but it's not.
It's not a hit.
No, but it was in the era set.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Lavender Haze.
Lavender Haze.
Yeah. No, I don't like that song. I'm not a fan of that one. That's why it wasn't a hit.
It's your favorite album.
I put the word out. A, it's not my favorite album. B, I put the word out. I don't like it, and so they didn't release it as a single. Not a hit.
Yeah. I think they opened the Midnight set with that.
Yeah.
The show ends. And I kind of agree with you. Like, I think that time could have been better spent on some other songs.
I also maintain that while it was an Eras tour, that ending with that album was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I don't think that those songs were show ending tunes.
Yeah, but I think Ego or whatever else you want to call it, it was the newest album when the tour started. And so in her mind, it's like, you got to end the show with the newest stuff that she's the most excited about at that moment. That makes sense.
I get it. But as far as a show flow goes.
Now, the whole concert always should have ended with Long Live. That's the most perfect song to end that. The concept of the tour being, this is my whole career. Long Live is the vibe.
Where was Long Live in the set?
It wasn't.
Oh.
It was in the set for like a month or two, and then it vanished. It was in the set in L.A., so we got to hear it. So that was nice.
All right.
Yeah, she kind of.
But then she dropped it, which is crazy because it's fantastic.
It's not good. That's why she dropped it. She knows it. She knows it stinks.
It's another one of those Speak Now bangers that gets forgotten, I think.
Well, she forgot it.
Yeah, that's right.
She said, cut that loose. Watch no part of it. Wonder what she's doing right now.
Who knows?
Good question. I got a few weeks back, we were having dinner.
Yeah.
And my phone was going bananas. This is like 2 weeks ago or something. My phone's going nuts. And I just glance over at it, and it's a friend of the show, Doug Julin. And it's two texts, three texts, four texts, five texts. And sometimes he will text you and I both about show-related things.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, well, Matt must be responding to him. And that's why this is right. keeps happening. Yeah. Nope. It was an 11-text message from Doug. He had just listened to Chicago Hot Streets, and he had some thoughts.
So it was timely.
It was, Terry, my guess is it was in his brain because Terry Keith, the anniversary of his death was a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was in all of the, you know, I'm sure Doug followed, I'm sure his Facebook page, it popped up there because it popped up in mine.
Yeah.
So it was probably top of mind. Oh, I'll listen to, so his premise was I wanted to listen to the first album after Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not care for it.
Okay.
And it is in my top five.
Right.
And I acknowledge that, but a lot of Chicago talk lately on this program. I acknowledge that it's in my top five for nostalgic reasons. I became obsessed with the band, even though my dad listened to them and I grew up listening to them with my father. I became obsessed with them in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent albums were Chicago 14, Chicago 13, and Hot Streets. So I, being, other than Kiss, kind of new to music.
Yeah.
And when I say Kiss, I mean Kiss and Styx and some 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And but being obsessed in the way that I was with Kiss when I was 12, I'm now 14, 15, obsessed with Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, obviously I want to listen to their most recent music.
Yeah.
Not knowing those aren't going to be the best.
But if that's what grabbed you in the moment, this is what's so interesting about music. I feel like a lot of times if it's not a new artist, then you're jumping in wherever you're jumping in. But it also, as a fan, gives you a strange sense of, especially if it's a less popular album, it gives you a little sense of ownership of like, this is mine. Like,
that's kind of what I thought. But also the internet wasn't around.
Yeah.
I didn't know that people didn't like these albums.
Right, right.
They, to me, were the newest Chicago albums.
Did your dad like them?
My dad was kind of out by that point. I don't know. To this day, I don't understand how my dad was a drummer in a band.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a wedding band or a cover band, or when he was the drummer for the Hawaiian luau, what would you call it?
Show or dinner, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, the dinner show where you know you got the flaming swords and the hula dancers, and that he was the drummer for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was all in on music. He had a record collection, you know, crazy record collection, you know, where I would listen to his albums, mm-hmm. and then he just kind of stopped. He just didn't care at all about music again. And right as I started getting into his favorite band,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like he passed the baton,
right.
And he's done. He's
like, I don't need to listen to these guys anymore. Yeah. Jimmy's going to take over.
I'm on the bench. Let him finish the run.
You're like that guy in the hatch on Lost. You have to punch in those numbers every day. 2, 2, 5, 6, 4.
And they're ding. I don't think my dad even ever heard these albums.
Wow.
He might have heard Hot Streets.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he was like, this isn't the Chicago with right. Terry and I'm out. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
I would ask him, but my dad, you know, doesn't remember a single thing. at any rate, I have nostalgia for Hot Streets. I think it's a good album. But I did recently listen to it and I thought, is this in my top five? Do I like this album as much as I thought I did? And then I will occasionally get on a Chicago Jag where I will listen to their entire catalog from start to finish or finish to start.
Oh.
And the last two times I did it, I skipped Hot Streets.
Whoa.
And so it's kind of like, I've overplayed this one.
Right, right.
So, but everything Dog said, I was like, no, he's right. He's right. He's mm-hmm. right. He's right. And then he ended. So it's all of that. So I would just, so it's just, you know, again, a banana amount, and my phone's going nuts, but I don't want to answer it. I don't want to look at it because we're having dinner and it's you know, family time. So I have to scroll up because I then left him a ridiculously long message in response. He acknowledges that Doc says he got high from the cocaine just from listening. and then anyway, it's this long rant. It's this long, and it's wonderful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's wonderful. So he goes, I know you love them. Please walk me through this one. Then 2 minutes later, PPS, your podcast is the greatest fucking thing on earth.
Oh, that's nice.
So after all that, then that from our friend Doug Jewel.
Very nice.
So my response to him was, basically about the nostalgia. And also, I'm also rethinking that album. I hear I don't disagree with anything you said, but I have such nostalgia for it that I rank it higher than it really should be ranked.
Yeah.
And then so then he said, how do you feel? And it's very timely. We talked about it a few weeks ago on this show. He said, how do you feel about them saying that the band will go on even without original members? And I said, well, like they said, you don't see Glenn Miller when you see the Glenn Miller Orchestra. I said, but that said, at the end of the day, if Jimmy Pankow and Robert Lamb are gone, what's the point? You know, I don't want to go see a bunch of strangers do my favorite songs. If I wanted to see a bunch of strangers ruin something, I'd go see a bunch of strangers do R.E.M. And he laughed.
Yeah.
He saw the humor in that because he gets it. Yeah. Why? Because this podcast is the greatest thing on earth.
That's right.
So he knew I was kidding. There are certain people like, do I do that joke? Will they get it? Will it work in print? I knew it would work with him.
Yeah, he gets it.
But some people don't. They'd go, well, you don't think it's a good thing I'm doing it?
But speaking of getting and listening to old stuff, I'm gonna be this sucker, and I'm gonna give myself the grace to allow myself to be this huge sucker and say that the movie A Complete Unknown has inspired me to finally, at long last, give Bob Dylan a chance.
All right, good for you.
But I dipped my toe in recently, and it's just so much. Like, I don't know what to do. Should I just start at the beginning and just start listening through?
Can I tell you what to do?
Yeah, tell me what to do. That's what I'm asking.
As a guy. You're just a guy.
I don't want to be greatest hits guy, but...
You got to be greatest hits guy.
Okay.
Do Essential Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That covers it.
Okay.
And Blood on the Tracks.
Okay.
And
not Highway 61 Revisited?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll have some crossover, because those are obviously on the Essential.
Yeah.
The Essential with those two, and you're good.
Huh. But I'm curious. I appreciate songwriting.
Some suck.
I know, but at least, but it doesn't take that much to listen to something once. And if you just go, yeah, that was nothing. I got nothing out of that.
It.
You move on. But yeah, I kind of feel like I need to at least listen to the first, I don't know, five or six, like to get a read on it. I know it just all went crazy. He made so many albums in the 70s and 80s, especially.
There's tons of bootleg ones too that are. There's like 60 bootleg releases.
Well, I saw that. I saw that. And that's what's interesting is like they went back and found all these demo recordings and made those things. Like you can just go hear him singing the demo version of It Ain't Me, Babe from like 1963 or whatever the hell. And that's interesting, but I'm not going to start there, you know?
No, in fact, I recommend you never listen.
Well, I like the simplicity of a guitar and a voice or a piano and a voice or whatever. But, In some cases, I like that more. You know, like I don't necessarily need to hear all the production to just get like what I'm.
You would have been
for.
One of the ones booing him then at that festival when he brought all the accoutrement. Yeah.
I only listen to the songs he has that slide whistle.
You like those?
That's it. Everything else, I'm out. It doesn't have that little wee noise. Get out.
You don't care.
That is funny how that made it in the movie. Is that important?
Very important.
He's an innovator.
Yeah.
Don't tie him down.
No time. That's not what you said. You said don't tie him down, and I said no time. Here's a fun fact: how Bob Dylan affected my family. You know the song "Lay Lady Lay Lady Lay." That's tough for me to say.
Really.
Lay Lady Lay lay across my big brass bed. Well, my mother's name is Elaine, and one of my cousins thought the words were Lady Elaine.
Yeah.
So when he was a young boy, he thought it was a song about his aunt.
And then later, he thought it was a song about that character from Mr. Rogers.
That's right. Lady Elaine Fairchild.
That's right.
Lay, lay, lay.
That's not a good song, right?
What?
That's not a good song.
He's got a lot that aren't.
Yeah, that one came up because I was doing what you were thinking of, just going.
Yeah, going straight through.
Album.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm just going to go to Spotify and hit play on Bob Dylan and let it shuffle through whatever. And that one's come up twice. And I'm like, I don't know. He's doing something different with his, like, he doesn't have the rasp or something.
He would vocally change from time to time.
Yeah, I wasn't into it.
Yeah, I get it.
I wasn't liking that one.
It's so interesting. Obviously, some people, and this is true of novelists, screenwriters, songwriters, all different types of creative people, some of them just churn out an insane amount of stuff, and then... The question is whether they're so successful that the public wants all of it, which is what happened with Bob Dylan. I guarantee if he wasn't successful, we would have only heard a tenth of what we ended up hearing.
Yeah.
And that probably would have been fine. But because people went crazy for his stuff, then we got all of it basically, or as much as, you know, maybe there's might be still some other stuff lying around, but that the problem with that is it's not all good. It's just a volume thing. And then some of them were amazing. And I don't know. I'm just always curious. Like some, you know, I think he probably had a run where he was just like cranking out masterpieces left and right. But then he also had times where he was probably all garbage.
Well, I will tell you this: as a guy who worked at the record store between '84 and '89, his albums did not sell at all.
Yeah,
and they're considered crap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now that said, you might listen to him tomorrow and go, I like the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
I might say the same thing.
Well, you were talking about that with Sam Wiles a few weeks ago, I think, on the show.
He likes it.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were both saying that you liked that one.
Empire Burlesque, I believe, is the one that we both said we liked.
Right.
And, it's not all on the Watchtower.
It sounds very 80s, right? Like, yeah. Production-wise, it's very different.
It's 70 years of music.
I think I can safely say I'm cool with skipping the born again Christian stuff or whatever that was. He started making Christian music for a while. Do I need to listen to that?
I don't know, but I couldn't even tell you which albums those are. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell you which ones to skip.
I think it's from like maybe the late 70s into the early 80s. I'm not sure.
I think Daryl Asher, friend of the show, Daryl Asher is big into Dylan, knows all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I just.
You got in late. You were like in your 40s and decided I'm going to start listening to Dylan.
And I did. I listened to everything. And then I landed. If you go to my collection, it's the essential Bob Dylan. You land there and Blood on the Tracks and you're good.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Right.
And, you put it on when you're in the mood for it.
Right.
Which, by the way, I would say is for me, it doesn't come up that often.
I just looked at his Wikipedia page and happened to land on where they talk about Lay Lady Lay. And there's a quote from Variety. Dylan is definitely doing something that can be called singing. Somehow he has managed to add an octave to his voice, to his range, rather. Huh. Interesting.
Lay, 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 lay. Lay a cry. I do a pretty good impression.
Yeah, the other thing is, that's not a, like, his style is not something I necessarily want to listen to for, like, 90 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, it's a, like, pepper that maybe through a playlist of other things maybe from the same era. I don't know.
I don't know if you want that either.
Yeah, I don't.
Although really. You know what, Patton Oswalt did a tweet a few weeks ago talking about how he, you know, growing up, he thought it was Dylan and this, but it turns out at the end of the day, it's all about the birds. Like, go fuck yourself. You fuck it. I'll say that to his face. You weirdo. Good for you.
It's all about the birds.
All about the bird and somebody else. The birds and somebody, but
the birds and the turtles.
No, it's not. It's not menagerie related.
The birds and the bees.
Let me tell you about them.
Yeah,
I'm listening. About the birds and the bees, the flowers and the flowers and the trees.
I don't know shit about the birds other than that one song.
Turn,
beautiful. It's a great song.
Oh, there they think.
There's one other song that
they do a version of Mr. Tambourine
Man. Yeah,
and they've got a third one. They're fine. He's being that. Which we're all guilty of doing that, but, he gets 2,000 likes on that fucking tweet, and I get annoyed. So it works out comedically for everybody. And if he enjoys the birds, then go, cut to 2 weeks from now. You know what's great? The birds. And I'm all in on the birds, and I don't stop talking about the birds. by the way, I was talking about with young Oliver about this. My next Flappers date is on March the 15th, which is the Ides of March.
Oh, yeah.
And one of Oliver's favorite songs is Vehicle by the Ides of March. So that, speaking of music, that came up.
Well, you, sir, have made me a liar in the plugs that we did the last few weeks.
Oh, I did not. It was added just yesterday.
Well, no, but still, I said, I don't think he's doing another show until April.
Right. But you were accurate.
But now you've made me a liar.
No, you were accurate. We've added this show. Full disclosure, can I tell you why I think it happened? Because of what we talked about. Because Oliver sold the place out.
Right.
Mm. And now we got to get more Pardo in here.
Nah.
I mean, is he going to do the show again? I mean, basically, it's become the Pardo and Son.
I don't know the answer to that.
Sounds like Danielle should get involved in one of those.
Yes. The Pardo Family Comedy Hour.
I mean, try it.
The other thing is, I don't think 20 kids from his high school are going to come again, are they? Or maybe they are. I don't know.
I think maybe a different 20 could come.
That'd be great.
I mean, by the way, I hope not.
Yeah.
Let's fire that school.
We talked
no!
about it.
No. But I know for it had to be. They looked at the numbers and went, "Hey, Jimmy's not here till April. Hey, any chance you're available?" You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the answer is yes. Because I want to. I did not like that there was that big of a layoff.
Right. Okay.
I like that little flapper show. It's so stress free. It's a little more stressful when my kids on the show, but it's still the whole premise of those shows is for me to go up and have fun.
Yeah.
And I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was bummed that I did not have one until April. So now I'm back in. What do you got, Garen?
Do you think that stress goes away
of Oliver being on the show?
Yeah.
I think it will the next time. I think if there's a third or a fourth time, the stress will go away. There was stress this last time, and we're going to overtalk this, but the amount of kids that were coming was getting to be stressful. Like him saying,
yeah,
I got another text, and all of a sudden it was becoming I'm not going to Flappers to do a Jimmy Pardo show. I'm going to Flappers to do a show with Oliver's friends in the audience. And that stressed me out. Not for him. Mm-hmm. I knew he'd do great. So I was more stressed out. The first time I was stressed out about him performing. This time I was a little bit stressed out about him performing, but more stressed out about the audience dynamic. And so he wants to perform in front of adults.
Yeah.
He does not want it to be a talent show. So maybe now we will get away from the 20 people. Yeah. Or will it be a different 20? Or will it be the same? Maybe his three best friends will come, which they should.
He's not asking me, but I think he should just find an open mic in Culver City and go do that.
Just drop in unannounced.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
We've talked about that. I've told him even that he could, he can contact Josh at Flappers and say,
yeah.
Can I do the show after my dad's show? Could I just be one of the people on one of the showcases?
Right.
Because I'll tell you this, and this is, I don't mean this, this will sound like I'm an asshole. He's better than some of the people on that show.
He's already better than them. I agree with you. And I also think it would be, if he's going to pursue this, it's he's going to learn a lot more from going up in front of all strangers.
Yes.
And
100%.
And I still think knowing his material and knowing what he's got right now, just at this very embryonic stage, he will still do well.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, well, now you're going to find out. It's like, no, he's still going to do well. But I think in terms of his timing, it's going to be important to do that.
But, we don't know if he wants to pursue this. We don't know where he's at in this.
Yeah.
But, and we'll find out, as time goes on. Which I believe was the answer to the trivia question last week. Mm-hmm. Or 6 weeks ago, whatever the fuck it was. My brain is so
I thought
mushed.
That was the song from Casablanca. As time goes on.
You must remember that a cat is just a cat.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing As Time Goes On.
The musical improv skills.
Whereas As Time Goes By was the music from Casablanca.
Yeah, see, that was my joke that was obscured by the fact that it was not really a good joke.
I was trying to help you, Matt.
And then you jumped in with a great little...
And you helped. And then here's why I locked up. Because it sounded, when you sang it, it sounded like the beginning of Color My World by Chicago.
Oh, Jesus. It's always Chicago with this fucking guy. We gave you your fucking time. We gave you your time.
Just what you mean. My dad would sing that in his band, by the way. That was the song that he sang. And then his second wedding, he said somebody wanted that song played. And he said, I can't have that song played at my wedding.
Hmm.
So he's like, I enough with that song.
I wanted to go back to this because I never thought of this until you mentioned it earlier. Why was there a luau in Chicago? Like a regular luau?
Well, not a luau. It would be a Hawaiian show. And you'd go to the...
Like a tiki room sort of thing.
Yeah. Or you'd go to the Condesa del... a supper club.
Yeah.
And on that particular night, it was a Hawaiian show.
Huh. Yeah. Why did we have it in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
We had Kelbo's was our restaurant that was all tiki all the time in our neighborhood. It was really cool, actually, because it was like all sorts of... It's like a maze, and so you had these little booths, and you had to figure out where the booths were. But why? We're not Hawaii. We're not Fiji.
Something to do. I guess it was popular at the time, and so people wanted to experience that without traveling.
It was the 70s, and there were less things to do. Live performance, there was a lot more. There were supper clubs. There were all sorts of things. That's how you got entertainment.
No, it wasn't about the fact that there was live entertainment at a restaurant. It just, like, the fact that it was Hawaiian-themed in Chicago seemed very random.
That was big then.
It was big.
Yeah, I guess
it was in the big magazines and everything.
I think the bigger question is, why was there a white Italian guy on drums?
Well, that's part of it too.
That's the bigger question. Why you couldn't find Hawaiian that could beat those skins?
I mean,
everybody else was Hawaiian.
Oh, they were.
True? Oh, okay.
Everybody was Hawaiian.
That's fascinating.
The exception of my dad. My dad lived down the street from the woman, who I believe went by the name Babe, if I'm not mistaken. And that would a nickname Babe.
That'll do.
And she, that's not fair. That is not a fair.
It's just a fun joke about a name. It has nothing to do with her.
So I think that's how, I think they got to talking and she said, we need a drummer and I hear you beating on those things. And then he, you know, in addition to his wedding band and he then was in that.
Yeah. So did he have to wear a costume like armbands with leaves or anything like that?
I don't think he had to. I think maybe he maybe
wanted to.
He insisted on it.
No, in fact, they asked him to take it off.
Jim, you look stupid. Don't. What is it? Acquire a culture. That's not the phrase. Don't
appropriate.
There
appropriate.
You go.
Yeah, which was not a phrase back in the '70s, but
better times, right?
Good. But thank you. We'll get back to him.
Great
again.
You know what? I want to go back where Hawaii wasn't even a fucking state.
Yeah,
they would like that. Actually,
well, drop that.
They would
pick they up Canada. Would.
I would guess that he was not very visible behind his kit, so it probably didn't matter what he
there was. There was a lot going on.
Yeah,
sure.
A lot going.
Was
on.
It? Do you recall? Were there? Fire.
Oh yeah, there was the fire. You know, the fire swords and the fire batons. Yeah. You know, they throw them back and forth. Sure. You know, the whole thing. Then the girls would come out and do the hula. They would, you know, the drums to the hula, and then you know, Babe would sing Hawaiian classics. I guess
like American Hawaiian. Like,
yeah,
Tiny you know, Bubbles and such.
Then I believe her son did Tiny Bubbles. I believe a gentleman who's actually his nickname might have been Babe and not the mother's, but. At any rate, it's worse. It was a big show. Yeah, it was weird.
And you saw this show more than once.
Yeah, my brother and I would go. Like if it was a you know, my parents were divorced.
Yeah.
So if it was a and my dad had us on the weekend. If it was a Saturday matinee or something. Oh, I got a show on Saturday. You boys can come. Hmm. And we would sit crisscross applesauce and loved it.
Great.
Absolutely loved it. You know, I like any sort of live music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a shitty band at the mall playing, I stop and watch them. So, you know, watching my dad play drums and, you know, in this thing. And, you know, when you're 9 years old and you're seeing hula dancers and flaming batons and stuff, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cultural appropriation or not, it is a spectacle that's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know. Again, I don't know if there was appropriation. They were all Hawaiian with the exception of the guy on drums.
Well, My understanding is that a lot of the stuff that happened in those kinds of shows is not necessarily authentic to Hawaiian culture, but they were doing things that white people wanted to see.
All right.
But like I say, it's fun to watch. So can't be mad at that.
Whose side are you on?
No shit. Thank you, Garen.
I'm on the side of the fiery sword.
It doesn't sound like it. You're all of a sudden bringing some fucking woke bullshit into this conversation.
How about I swing one of those fire swords into your side?
How about that? We're talking about the fucking 70s, and these are authentic Hawaiian people performing.
Sure.
And you're talking appropriation shit.
Hawaiian people.
This isn't Zoe dressed up as Moana for Halloween, which never happened, by the way.
Yeah.
She was way too old.
Also, you want to dress up as Moana for Halloween? Do it. That's what Halloween is. You put a costume on.
Yeah, pretend to be something else.
You know, I wasn't Paul Stanley. I was pretending to be Paul Stanley.
I think I might have offended some pirates when I was a kid. I'm worried that they thought I was.
Did you piss off some ghosts? No, I pissed off my mom cutting up those sheets. How are you?
Hey now.
Stand up. See me at Flappers, March 15th.
The Ides of March.
Hey, going back to that. No, never mind. I had nothing to say. We do have this. We have.
Sure.
The mail is here. Get out. Come on. The mail is here. Shut up! Matt, you may have already seen this as you're walking past, but I got you a gift.
Oh.
I got you the Beastie Boys album on vinyl.
Oh, thank you.
So I was at Target the other day.
Yeah.
And I texted you to see if you had it.
Yeah.
With the premise being, if you don't have it, I was going to buy it for you. Then you asked way too many fucking questions.
Well, because I do have it, but I think, and I'm sorry, I apologize for forgetting, but I think a fan sent me this License to Ill vinyl, and I don't know how to find, I guess I punched the number into a website or something to find out if it's like what pressing it is. It seems, the one I have seems like it's from the 80s.
All right.
And so it's not in the best shape. And so this is a new pressing, and it's apparently in bone.
I want to tell you something. That's exclusive.
Yeah, it's a Target exclusive.
Will you open it?
Bone vinyl.
So we can see this color?
I'm excited about the color alone.
Well, it's
so
bone.
That's an off-white one?
I'm going to say it matches the cover.
Sure, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And that's very cool.
It also could have been a really cool red would have looked nice.
Yep.
Like a transparent red.
It's got the same gatefold picture. I love it.
Cool. World's Fair.
And then those what I like about this album, because when I was a kid, I only had this on cassette, and then eventually CD. But it's much more exciting to unfold the LP and see the plane actually crashed into
you don't realize that it is.
So the cover is just the tail of an airplane, but then you see, oh, wait a minute, they had a problem.
I always thought that was a problem. When I saw that, and I'm not a Beastie person. Boys person.
Good guy.
Sure. I always thought that it was a blunt, a marijuana joint.
This?
That was being...
Oh, you think that's
Oh, that's interesting. It looks more like a cigarette if I want to be you.
Sure, fair enough.
But it's also, on the face of it, just a plane crashed into a cliff.
100%.
Can go with that.
And so now let's pull this out.
All right, I want to say this is, I promised bone.
This is so far this is exactly the same as what I have, except this is glossy and the original was like that paper.
Matt.
Just not even matte, just like a
cheap paper.
Almost like newspaper, like that quality
of
sleeve. Yeah, like a very... But it was still black with white Def Jam label logo, and then the
photo in
the concert photo.
Minimal liner notes
by Ricky Powell, their old pal. Ooh. Ricky.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. That's real nice.
Vanilla.
Look at that.
Bone.
It's vanilla. I like vanilla more. Will you put that in my direction so I can see? Yeah.
It's got a whole.
Some might even argue white.
I was going to say it's an off white, maybe a sale, but it's.
It's gonna look beautiful on the U-turn turntable. Yeah. They are not a sponsor. Use code PARDO. Maybe that'll get you some.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's still active. Who knows? I doubt it.
And if you want an actual switch to change the speed, let me tell you, you make sure you're buying the right model.
Well, there you have it. Enjoy that.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you so much. Very that's cool. So cool.
Yeah.
If you are into vinyl and you are at Target, give that section a look, because sometimes that shit goes on clearance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone hated this movie, but the Lady Gaga Harlequin or whatever it was vinyl she put out, $10 bucks. I'm like, sure. It's a Lady Gaga vinyl for $10. I'll take it.
Huh.
Yeah, whenever something goes on clearance there, it really goes.
Yeah.
They got a lot of Chris Stapleton. If you want Chris Stapleton, especially in my neighborhood, because Chris Stapleton was never going to sell.
Right.
And so there's a lot of Chris Stapleton for $7.99 maybe.
Oh, really? I sold my Chris Stapletons to Amoeba because I... was never, I mean, he's fantastic, but I never
listen. If you don't listen, you don't listen.
Like, this is just,
you know, forget Dylan.
Space.
I'm going to get into Chris Stapleton. That's going to be my new thing.
Oh, I'm not going to buy you that.
Oh, it sounds like it's on sale.
Just how cheap it is. Yeah.
I'll give you the money.
How about Jean Stapleton? Anybody into that?
Sure.
She's got a great voice. All the Clayton Miller playing. That is a horrible impression.
Did she ever release an album?
I would
not singing like that, but
did Toni Thaxton do an episode on Jean Stapleton?
I feel like she probably did.
Because she probably came.
She did.
Right?
I would put money on that there is an album with Jean Stapleton's name on it.
First of all, I got to spell it right.
There might be an All in the Family album.
There is at least two, apparently.
What? And what is on what is on an All in the Family album? Does Meathead get a cut?
Hold on, let me. There's an Amazon listing, but doesn't. Oh wait, here's the back of it.
I'm not a fan of Amazon's new thing where they don't show you the back of the album; they just show you the cover. I'm not a fan of that.
I didn't know that was happening.
All right, I don't know what this is, but it's called the All in the Family second album. Track one on side one is Breasts.
What now?
Oh, is it just clips?
It might be just clips.
Oh,
Hog Jowls.
Yeah,
Man in the Street. Sammy's Visit.
That's what it is. It's just clips from the show. Just like when SNL did that album,
right?
And it was just a quote unquote greatest hits
sketches. Yeah, that's fun.
I loved it. Yeah. I overplayed that album. Oh man, did I overplay that album? Especially that Chevy song that the three girls sang to mock Chevy Chase to his face. When he became very popular,
mm-hmm.
and they had that song basically putting him in his place, and
right.
he took it.
Yeah.
He probably saw it like, they're singing about me.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to ignore the sarcasm part of this and just enjoy it on face value.
Yeah. by all accounts, a great guy. What are you looking up, Elliot? A Gene Stapleton album.
Yeah, I didn't find anything about Gene Stapleton on her own, but I don't know what... This is 10 more.
Was she ever in like the Pajama Game or something? Like, was Gene Stapleton in a musical?
Right.
I didn't see anything.
I think
anything.
She was in Damn Yankees.
That's
I
what
think I that may have come up when I was trying to, before I got sidetracked by the All in the Family one.
She was in Damn Yankees. Who would she have played in Damn Yankees?
That might be not right. Okay. It's just something that showed up when I was trying to find.
And by the way, the casting is wrong in Damn Yankees. It's, what's her name? It's, isn't it Vern, Gwen Verdon? Verdon?
I don't know. I never saw it.
The woman, Fosse's wife.
Yeah.
She is, it's not proper casting.
Okay.
In the movie.
Well, hopefully they write that wrong someday.
Oh God, I hope so.
It looks like she is only on, at least according to Discogs, on the Funny Girl original Broadway cast album.
All right. So she was in Funny Girl.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then the first All in the Family album, I think probably is a similar thing the way I read these. So those are the days it starts with.
All right, you got the theme song.
Yeah. Then Why God Made Hands, Sweetie Pie Roger, Transplants, A Station Wagon Filled with Nuns.
Yeah. So
that all sounds like.
Yeah, it's all Archie's rants.
And then Shove Yours. I don't know what that is about. And then the All in the Family closing theme. Of course.
All right. Very good.
So technically her singing is on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then probably on that Funny Girl. Maybe she's got a solo or
an ensemble.
I don't know who she played. I don't know who she played. I don't know the show well enough that even if you told me who she played, I would go, oh yeah, she does blah blah song.
I don't know the show at all. How do you like them apples?
Funny Girl's the Barbara Streisand movie, is it not?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it was just recently on Broadway and they fired
her name from Glee? Is that accurate?
No,
Lea Michele came in because they fired Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah, gotcha. And you know why they fired her, right?
She wasn't a singer and not good.
Yeah, she was horrible. She wasn't a singer or a dancer. Then why cast her?
I think they thought maybe there was some name recognition.
There's not.
Nobody.
I don't
really.
I don't currently know who that is.
Not for Broadway.
She's Jonah Hill's sister, but she's been in movies.
Yeah. And she's good in the movies.
Yeah, yeah. She's in what I call the female Superbad, which is, what's that movie called?
Booksmart,
which is great.
She's very good.
Gene Stapleton was in a recording for Damn Yankees.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, with Gwen Verdon.
Oh, so she's in the movie then, maybe. And I just don't remember.
Original cast recording?
Oh, so she's on stage. All right. Well, best of luck to... Well, they're both dead.
I think we got... I feel safe saying we got to the bottom of this.
Yeah, as deep as we need to go.
I don't know.
You want
think
more?
There's more meat on that bone?
I don't know.
All right.
He used to always, whenever Gene Stapleton was on Hollywood Squares, she's so not Edith Bunker that it was jarring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just so, you know, like, I don't know, when you're young, too, you just assume that's how they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. And same with Carol O'Connor. He was very much not Archie Bunker.
And as we, you know, have documented for years, same with Henry Winkler. He certainly was not the Fonz. Couldn't be farther from the Fonz.
No, he's not cool at all in real life.
No, he's a big nerd.
He wears yellow sweaters.
Absolutely a nerd.
He fishes.
He does love to fish, Henry Winkler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We talked about that not long ago with our friend Matt Walsh. We talked very briefly about fishing. I don't know if I have the patience to just relax. Like, I understand that that's the premise of fishing. Yeah. You go out there and just relax.
I wouldn't like it. So you could possibly fish, but obviously you can't use
sonar?
Live bait. So no worms for you, little bits of fish, none of that.
You wouldn't want to be dealing with bait.
But then how do you when you pull the fish up, Jimmy Pardo?
I don't want to.
You can't. I don't know if you're afraid and you throw it back in. Or what? But I feel like your other food things that you've talked about.
I don't think the food thing would play into it.
Really?
I think just the wiggly fish.
Sure.
And that I also don't want to be the guy that puts a hook through a fish face.
Yeah.
And I know that's what happens. I know that I understand how the world, but I don't know if I want to be the guy doing that.
Right.
Is wiggly fish on the Bob Dylan Essential album? Or is that on Blood in the Chalice?
No, that's on that Empire Burlesque from the '80s. It's not a good song.
No.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if you're going to eat the fish, then as terrible as it is, hook in fish head, okay, fine. This business, and I know that they say it's fine or whatever, but this business of you catch a fish, then you pull the hook out and you throw the fish back. I mean, I imagine the fish would prefer that, but it seems like torture, right?
You're still fucking with them
a
lot.
Still, like, stand-up comics for years have done the bit of what if they did that to us?
Yeah, right.
Where something bigger comes down and just hooks you for a little bit, and then it goes, oh, never mind, and then throws you back. And, you know, they make it funny, of course, but or they don't. But you know, it's yeah. I think you're fucking with you.
Yeah,
it's a mind fuck for the fish.
Yeah, yeah. You put a hook through somebody's head. You should eat them.
Yeah, there's a kebab place at the mall that one of the dishes is trout.
Okay.
And the trout is on the plate, you know, bed of rice with some vegetables, and it is the trout.
The whole trout.
You know what? I'm not ordering at a mall.
You know, trout.
Trout.
As I said to Oliver, and I said, and also Oliver, write this down as my fantasy baseball team, I ain't getting mall trout.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Just, I don't want trout anyway, but definitely not from a food court.
You're not getting food court. You're not getting mall trout?
That's crazy.
Mall trout? I can't even say the words, but Oliver got the kebab and he loved it.
Yeah, okay.
And Danielle gets the salmon there and they say the salmon's great.
Hmm.
But those are they're on a kebab.
Yeah. Sure.
This is fish. This is face at all trout on a plate.
Sure. Looking at you.
I'm not eating that a guy next to with a fucking corn dog and another guy's got pizza and I've got a fucking fish, you know, face fish.
I was out the second with trout or any like sort of river fish. It's like when you find out how easy it is to accidentally eat bone. I was like, well, then I'm just never going to eat those things.
Sounds like a dangerous thing.
I'm cool with not eating that if that's the...
I eat it like a cartoon cat. Right? I pull it out and it's clean to the bone.
If I could do that, that would be very satisfying, but I still don't want it.
The only fish I eat, and this is sincere, is my once a year filet of fish sandwich.
Really?
That's the only fish I eat.
Is that for Lent?
No, I just once a year go, I'm in the mood for a filet of fish. And then I eat it and I go, all right, I did that. Did I need to do that? I think what I really like is the tartar sauce.
Oh.
That seems to be the part of the sandwich that I enjoy.
Some people seem to enjoy the filet fish. Like they legitimately like
it.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it. Yeah. But I don't, it's just white fish, right? It's just.
Different kinds.
It's just nothing.
Whatever the cheapest white fish McDonald's can get.
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna hand this to you.
I don't want that.
Just for a sec.
Oh.
Because License to Ill, when it came out, I think I listened to nothing but that album for at least a full
12 months.
I'm going to see if I can name all of the tracks in order.
In order. Okay.
Yeah.
And I, as a reminder, I came very close to doing this with Chicago 17.
It's very difficult to do, even with something you know well.
Right.
And I have listened to this recently, so that helps a little bit.
Does it help to know that it's on bone?
Doesn't really factor into my ability to do this.
All right, go ahead.
But I know it starts with Rhyming and Stealing.
Yes, it does. What was that?
That was my bell.
Elliot. Oh, okay.
The new style? Now, this... So, I almost need to, like, sing the end of each song, and then it'll trigger...
Could you do that quietly in your own head?
Is it She's Crafty?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Hit it!
She's crafty. Yes, just y'all, and you don't stop. That's MCA. Posse in Effect? Okay, then after...
So no, he can't do that.
Well, no, I got it. I know the song.
No, you can't do it quietly in your head.
Oh, no, you're right. I cannot do it quietly in my head, but I will do it out loud into a microphone.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, is that just called Slow Ride?
That is.
Yeah. It samples the song's Low Rider, which is weird.
Does it sample Slow Ride by Foghat at all?
Well, what's the... Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. That's Low Rider.
That's the sample.
The Lopez theme song.
That's Low Rider.
And he uses that to open up his live shows as well, George Lopez.
Oh, great.
Uses that song.
Well, that's a reason I don't need to see the comedy. If I get that right out of the gate, I'm happy.
And then, you just did Foghat.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So,
Low Rider. Great guitar.
I believe the next song is Girls.
Girls.
Worst song on the album. Maybe worst song in their entire catalog.
Right.
Terrible.
All right. But I know it.
And then the next one we all know, that's Fight for Your Right.
That's right. Now go to side two.
Two party. Side two, I believe, begins with No Sleep Till Brooklyn. Then we got Paul Revere.
Wow.
Now we're going to get into some trouble. Hold It Now, Hit It. That was tough. Okay. Now, Slow and Low. Oh, shit. I missed. I missed one. What am I missing? Brass Monkey.
That Funky Monkey.
Then Slow and Low. Then I think we just wrap it up with Time to Get Ill.
Done.
Damn.
That was impressive.
He did it.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Is it impressive that he fucked up like he did?
I did fuck up.
He did fuck up, Garen.
I didn't do it perfect. I had that one miss.
That's still a win. That's a win as far as I'm concerned.
I forgot about Brass Monkey. I forgot where... I knew it was on the album. Mm. I just forgot where it was.
So let me guess that that's a song that you don't like.
No, I love Brass
Monkey.
You
like Brass Monkey?
Yeah. It's a funky monkey.
Okay.
See, Oliver, what I do when Max Muncy comes up to bat for the Dodgers is I sing Max Muncy to the tune of Brass Monkey. He goes, oh, you mean like everybody else in the stadium?
Max Muncy.
Thought I was alone. I thought I was the only guy doing it. The whole stadium's doing it.
But then what do they say? That Funcy Muncy.
I think they don't do anything. Max Muncy.
That's kind of unsatisfying.
Max Muncy.
Oh, okay.
Might just be that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a good player. People seem to like him. I think people like the name.
That helps.
He was also very good for a few years.
Yeah.
Now he's just kind of a journeyman Dodger that people have an affection for. Mm-hmm. And whenever they talk about the Dodgers are not going to re-sign Max, they're up in arms. It's like, look at the fucking numbers. You wouldn't really, but then they end up re-signing him. They cave to that peer pressure.
Yeah.
Or the fan pressure. I don't know what it is. You know what's interesting about, speaking of baseball, what's interesting, you know, with my Chicago White Sox sucking, and they suck, mm-hmm. is... Whenever there's a MLB alert on, you know, like I get an alert through the app, or if I'm reading, you know, Blue Sky and MLB rumors, whatever it's called, the rumor site, White Sox news, I don't care, because it's like you're not signing, you're not making any impact, you're not signing a player of impact,
mm-hmm.
so it's like White Sox sign Matt Belknap to a minor league contract, okay. Oh. There's a news to you. That's exciting for you.
Yeah.
But it's and that's a bummer to be a fan of a team. And then, oh, there's White Sox news. And it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's how bad they're going to be. They're going to stink. But the drafts are right around the corner. It's coming. March is coming up fast.
Yeah. In like a lion.
Out like a lamb. In like, what did I say the other day? In like a something, out like a something. Remember, I mean, when Joe McGinley was here, I said something fun.
I don't remember that. I barely remember what happened earlier this episode.
Well, we had to listen to you list Beastie Boys songs.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that part?
Let's do Paul's Boutique. Here we go.
No.
To all the girls.
To all the girls I loved before. I know it's not that song.
Weirdly enough, it is.
Oh, I've never heard the album. Yeah. That's interesting. I think my son was wearing that No Sleep Till Brooklyn t-shirt to school today. I think that's what he was wearing to school.
He has a No Sleep Till Brooklyn t-shirt.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I don't even know what that would look like. Is it?
It is.
What's the design?
You know how TeePublic, and I believe there's going to be some Never Enough Funny, if they're not already up there, they're going to be soon, where they do their own in-house design, and it's just kind of like... Like ours will be like it might be like a bullseye with Never Not Funny in the middle of it.
Right.
They do it's like that. I think it might just be like some design, and then it says No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
So it's like probably an AI generated thing. That,
could be.
Yeah.
Although I know they have in-house
for something like that. Yeah, maybe there. They would be. But remember, there's a couple on our TeePublic page that are clearly. I mean, someone prompted it, but clearly it's just an AI.
You think so?
Yeah. Elliot, I think. Well, you were the one who said that, but I agreed with you.
There are some things that the.
That one that it's definitely based on a photo of us, but it's like cartoonish kind of.
You don't think a guy drew that?
I mean, it's not impossible, but it does have some of the hallmarks of AI generation.
Yeah, like I have two noses.
Oh, that plays into it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I guess I didn't look close enough. To me, it looked like fan art.
Hmm.
And if it's AI?
It could also have been like, a fan like took that photo of us and then put it in Photoshop and dinked around with it for a little bit.
Why do you refuse to just accept maybe somebody drew it? Why are you against somebody being artistic?
Well, they drew it, but in Photoshop. It just looks too professional for someone to have done it by hand.
Well, here's my thought on
professional. You know what I mean?
Somebody, if it was a real fan, they would have sent us that art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would have said, hey, I drew this for you guys.
Yeah. I also
so that's the only reason I'm agreeing with you.
And I also thought the style of it is slightly random. I think that was the other thing that made me feel like it might be AI.
I think you can say that sentence without the word slightly in it. It's very random.
Like a fan would, there would be more of a point of view of like, this ties into something you guys are interested in.
Well, that's available on our TeePublic page.
Go check it out. We're really selling this thing.
Get one of those.
Yeah, driving people.
But I do know that TeePublic is, and it may have already happened. I don't know what the quick turnaround is on this. They are doing some of those kind of TeePublic generic ones, retro. They look like Oliver and I both have a Three Dog Night one, and I believe the same shirt will be happening, but instead of Three Dog Night, it'll say Never Not Funny.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's. I mean, it's very generic.
Right.
But maybe somebody wants that.
Sure.
I kind of do.
Well, you go buy it.
I might.
Get a little discount. Use code Pardo.
I don't think you do.
Or whatever. I don't know.
I don't think there is. I think you just are a, you get whatever deal TeePublic is running that day, which is usually pretty good. You get the pretty good deals over there on their T-shirts. And I buy too many T-shirts. I go, I'll be laying on the couch and I'll go, yeah, I do need a Jethro Tull T-shirt. And then I order a Jethro Tull T-shirt. Then by the time it arrives, I'm like, I do not need this T-shirt.
I got a few T-shirts for Christmas, and now I have to. I haven't done it yet. I got to like weed out my T-shirt drawer. I should say drawers. I have multiple drawers of just T-shirts, but they're overflowing. I need to. There's clearly ones that I'm never wearing that are at the bottom of each pile, so or each stack.
I do my T-shirts the way that woman told us to. Coda, is that her name?
Right.
Where you fold them, and then you.
So you see everything at once.
So you see everything.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I can't keep it that way.
What do I do for my concert T-shirts? Alphabetical.
Wow.
The bands are alphabetical. Did I do a dance the day I decided to do that? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I could never stick to that. That's crazy. Although I do have mine organized by like one thing is like kind of Star Wars, Marvel, that kind of stuff. And then one is like music stuff that, you know, like a lot of Taylor Swift shirts and some Beastie Boys and other bands.
Right. Now imagine if those are alphabetical, you know right where to go.
But I'm not doing what Marie Kondo, what you're talking about. Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should.
I can't.
You fit more. You fit a lot more shirts.
Easier to find them as well.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I do that with my jeans. I do a fold and then file them.
Wow.
You just fit more.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they stay
okay.
They don't wrinle as easy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's. Right. I mean, there's a reason she tells you to do that. Yeah. I mean, she's an expert at it, and I took three drawers and turned it into four. Four into three.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I don't have to get rid of any, but I probably should. There's stuff I'm not wearing.
Yes, get rid of that
decluttering.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Does it bring you joy or whatever it was?
Spark joy.
There you are. I do it by color.
The T-shirt.
Yeah. So I have by color two drawers of polos.
Mm-hmm.
And then. By color, things that don't have printing on them, color that way, and then things that do.
I do have my solids. I have my solids separate from my long sleeve T-shirts. Mm-hmm. Long sleeve T-shirts, solids, and then pop culture.
Sure.
And then I have White Sox / baseball are all a row. Chicago, the band, is all a row. I will tell you this: they are out of alphabetical order. They have their own little area,
and then to all Chicago.
And then the next drawer starts with the A through, I guess, W for Wham. Wait, TUVW. WXYZ. Yeah, I don't have anything after Wham.
I would assume that your Chicago shirts are done chronologically.
Sure.
They're just the logo.
From CTA to whatever your most recent.
There's
one.
Nothing.
17.
Just some of them have the band's face on it.
Yeah.
Do you have
the time to listen to me whine?
I was going to rhyme for you. Do you have T-shirts that have sentimental connection, but you are never going to wear again?
Yes, and I have them in a box in my closet, and they all have "Never Not Funny" on them.
Yeah. I also have some
Chicago. I have concert shirts as well that I will never wear. Because I can't fit into them, and B, I'll never wear them again. But I refuse to get rid of them. But they just—I haven't looked at them in minimum 3 years.
I mean, the solution to that would be, I guess, to put them in a frame.
Fuck that.
Would Oliver be interested in wearing any?
No.
Why not? He likes
because they don't have the Ides of March on them. They don't have the turtles.
But
the
likes
Jaggers.
A lot of the stuff you like.
No, he does not.
He doesn't.
He does not.
I don't know.
He was a hype man for Jimmy's.
No,
likes.
He was. As we talked about, who was it? Who was here? We talked about their kids listen to the same music they do. He listened to the same music as his dad until he had old enough to have his own tastes, and those tastes are not mine.
Got it.
He will still, like, if I say, hey, Foreigner's coming, will you go? He literally says, I like hanging out with you, so I'll go.
But, there's two different things, though. Like, some people just wear a concert shirt because it's a cool shirt. They don't give a shit if they're a fan of the music.
Here's Oliver Pardo. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to represent a band that I don't.
Of course.
I don't need anybody to say to me, hey, what's your favorite Foreigner song? Yeah. And I don't have one.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. And Zoe's very adamant about that, too. She's like, she'll be like, she got a Nirvana shirt from like a thrift shop, and she's just like, I got to learn Nirvana so I can wear this. Like, I can't go outside without, if someone, her whole thing is three songs. Like, you got to be able to name three songs, which is easy. especially with Nirvana, because they're very popular.
I couldn't do it.
You can name three Nirvana.
No. Sure. It Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Sure. Yep.
Here we are now. That's the same song.
One of them's the title of an album.
Never mind. Yeah. Is that a song?
Sure.
All right. So
is that a song?
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, they say Nevermind in the aforementioned Smells Like Teen Spirit.
All right. So wait, there's Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's a song by them.
Yeah.
Off the album Nevermind.
Yeah, there you go.
And that might be I know they had one other hit and I can't pull the name.
That a few, but yeah, you're probably thinking of this one is
give me a hint.
A common phrase.
Nevermind.
It's four words.
Go fuck yourself. That's only three.
It means you don't have to dress up when you attend a thing. It's just like, hey, you do this instead.
No Jacket Required. That's Phil Collins.
Close.
Same album.
That's Nevermind. Is that my guy? Nevermind.
Mm-hmm. That song that Matt's talking about is on.
Yeah. I've never listened to this album once in my life.
You as soon as you hear the title, you'll.
Yeah. I know.
It's also the first line of the song. It's the first lyric of the song, I believe. It's one of those songs that starts.
Come as you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come as you are.
Ugh, right. Awful.
And then
the one that I'm thinking of maybe is not a top 10 track.
Well, there's one from before from the EP or whatever it was before. I think it was a full album, Bleach.
Yeah, okay.
There's a song from there that I think that became popular later. And it's a name of a drug.
Oh,
but it's also medicinal.
Sure. That's an element as well, is it not?
Yeah, I believe so.
That is also on Nevermind.
That is on Nevermind? Okay.
Cobalt?
I apologize. I thought that was on Bleach for some reason.
What is it?
Lithium.
Lithium.
Yes, I know that one too. Yeah. I mean, I know them. I don't know them.
Yeah. And the one I was thinking of, I don't remember if it was super popular, was Heart-Shaped Box.
Yeah,
that's the lead single from the album after.
I do know that one
In
too.
Utero, yeah. That was huge.
In Utero, is that the baby?
No, that's Nevermind. You would think that the one called In Utero would have a baby on it, but no.
That poor man, the way that he was treated. I hope he sues. I hope he sues them for every fucking...
Oh, you're talking about the baby that was photographed?
Yeah, that asshole
album.
Who claims that he was... He was at autograph shows signing the album, and then, hey, you can get money if you sue them and say that you were sexually harassed.
To paraphrase a Zach Galifianakis joke, he's suing for damages from being injured by all the pussy that came his way from that. I forget what his joke is, but there's nothing. If anything, you're a legend for life.
Yes.
Just enjoy it.
Enjoy, dude. That's you. And you got a story, and that's it. Remember Zach's bit where my roommate wants to know why I play this every time he comes home. And I tell him, because I don't have a gong.
Oh, no. Also, did we say all apologies?
No.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
What else could I be? All apologies.
Yeah, I think the unplugged version of that was a hit.
Yeah.
He's in that rocking chair.
And then, from the Unplugged album, there's a famous David Bowie cover.
Yeah.
Man Who Sold the World. It's a good one.
They weren't for me.
Oh, okay.
They weren't for me.
Then Rape Me is a popular song for reasons.
Also from In Utero, yeah.
Did they have a song on the single soundtrack?
I actually don't think so. Maybe. I think definitely Pearl Jam did because members of Pearl Jam were in it. They were in that movie. Yeah, I think Eddie Vedder and Stone Gossard, maybe one other guy were in it.
I remember not thinking that movie was good.
Yeah. It's a weird movie because it had the potential. It was filmed in Seattle right when all that stuff was popping off. And it's infused with all that. And yet it has nothing to do with it and really didn't capture any of that in any meaningful way. It's just kind of about a lot of other things. And it's like, it's more of like a just generic kind of.
Or hey, maybe because you didn't live there, it captured it perfectly.
Maybe. But it's almost like it just coincidentally has some of those touchstones, but it doesn't feel like it's connected to any of that. It's a genic. It's like Reality Bites.
Yeah.
It's just one of those.
Which I'm not so sure I like that either. I don't know if I like either of those movies.
I never saw those.
I know I'm supposed to.
I bet I wouldn't. I remember liking Reality Bites when it came out, and I'm sure if I saw it now, I would find it very grating.
I think I found it grating then. But maybe convinced myself I liked it. But Singles, I remember thinking, boy, this movie loved itself.
Nah. You are almost exactly the age of the characters in those two movies. And I think it probably was more annoying to you because you're like, I'm living the life of the someone this age at this particular moment in time, and this ain't it. You know, like, you didn't capture me at all. And like, it's like sometimes that happens where it's like it's too close, and then you're like annoyed that it's not. It doesn't feel right for you. Like, it doesn't fit your life.
I remember somebody was very upset about the, and I will not say who this was, they were very upset about the movie This Is 40. And it's like, no, this is your 40.
Right.
That is not anywhere near my 40. I'm not 40 living in a mansion listening to Lindsey Buckingham. Like, that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair.
Totally.
I think that's fair. His daughter's in that movie, right? What movie did we just see his daughter in? Maude Apatow.
Yeah.
She's in, what is she in that we just saw her in? What is she in?
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about because I saw that she was in something.
She's got a big part in it. Oh, what the fuck? We just saw it. Good God, Garen, my brain.
Look it up, Garen. Look it up.
Garen.
Look it up.
She hasn't been in anything since, well, she's on one coming out called One of Them. Oh, One of Them Days. You just saw that.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, One of Them Days.
That was it. What is that movie?
That's the Kiki Palmer.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And SZA.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was a good movie. Good Lord. I don't remember going to the movie.
I've been meaning to see it.
It said 2025 next to it, and that fucked my brain up for a second.
You're like, oh, it's not out yet.
It's not even out yet.
Right. Sorry, Garen. It is 2025. Get used to it.
Yeah. So we're in February already, Garen.
Yeah. Wow. Look. It's been one day, as far as I'm concerned, this whole year of a nightmare.
It feels like it's hard to believe that we're already in February because it flew by, and at the same time, it was a slog.
Mm-hmm.
So bizarre.
Maybe it's there's something about the beginning of a century, because I know like the first sort of decade of the 1900s was pretty shitty for a lot of people.
Oh, so you're saying
like when a century turns around, and now we have, because the last 20 years have had a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
So you're saying that we're still in the beginning of the century?
Correct. We're just ending the first quarter.
See, I thought it was okay until 16.
I see where you're going.
Except for 08, when some people lost their houses.
Sure.
It also, I mean, it wasn't great with W.
2001 had some bullshit as well.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, what happened in 2001?
Well, there were a couple things that happened.
Oh, look at your Beastie Boys album.
Yeah.
You mean the back?
I get a reminder of it.
Yeah, this side shows what happened.
Yeah, there you go.
Talking about that blunt, huh?
Oh, yeah. I use that word a lot.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. You square.
Yeah.
That looks like a blunt cigarette.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Sure. We come back, we'll go around the horn. And, you know, we'll dig in deeper, man. We'll do it all. We'll do everything that needs to be done. You know what I mean?
I do.
Right after this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Never Not Funny. Now, don't forget the Matt probably already told you in the break. I got all those new dates I told you about in the last one. They got those Denver and Ann Arbor and Columbus added to the Rosemont and the Bloomington. I thought I would have new dates to announce another batch of three, but they have not come through yet. So I guess we're still waiting for the ink to dry, as they say on those. You know, going in and doing one night, as I'm doing, every club needs to kind of be on board with the idea of, oh, yes, come on in and do an off night.
Mm-hmm.
And full disclosure, what I want to do have happen, they usually go, well, we could pay a local guy nothing to do Thursday night.
Right.
I'm like, right, but you'll have people in your room with me, so compensate me for coming. I'm not coming for free.
Yeah.
You understand?
No free rides.
So they need to occasionally be convinced that I'm not here. Here's what happens. Full disclosure, I will not discuss numbers or money, but on paper, one would look like, wow, this guy's fucking me, but I'm not, in no way, shape, or form am I. They're winning, and it takes them a minute to
do that math.
Because I can tell you, I'm doing okay, but I'm not winning either. Mm. Like, I'm just doing all right.
You're making it so that the flight isn't a waste of time.
And I'm meeting the fans. That's what it's all about. I've said that before. If I could just do a show where I sit on stage and do a Q&A and then sign autographs, I would do that. But nobody fucking wants that. Yeah. They want to see the magic.
Sure.
And I bring it.
Since we're
what's your name? Am I saying that right?
Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you
They want to see it.
I forgot to tell you this about a few weeks ago when I brought the family to see you at Flappers. I mean, look, we were really there to see Oliver, but yeah, we stuck around and watched you do.
Oh, thanks for sticking around. Appreciate it.
Shit, what's the lead up to the, like, that's something, something, an average comedy. What's the,
how old are the kids?
Yeah.
6 and 4. Where are they at tonight? Out in the car? Ha ha. Ah, that's bad parenting and average comedy.
Right. Okay. So when you said that's bad parenting, I turned to Charlie and literally in sync with you perfectly said, and average comedy.
Attaboy.
And he was like, how did you do that?
It's you.
Yeah.
I thought, no.
I said it to him. And
oh, that's great.
It like blew his mind. And he was like, how do you? And I was like, I've seen it a couple times.
I've seen it a couple. And by a couple, I mean 100 times.
But it was such a, I got such a kick out of him being so mind blown by it. It was really
fun. I love it.
Yeah.
Love what?
I assume you're going to go around the horn?
Yes. And you're not first, are you?
Oh, that's true.
And did you hear the music?
Let him on the show. How about he knows what he's doing?
Is this fun for you to be set up on this?
Nope. That's all right.
It's
fun for me.
I mean this sincerely. You're the most decent man I've ever met. Sincerely. What you tolerate in this fucking room is just...
It's all right.
Why you don't, and I'll say this, why you don't murder Matt first and then me?
Why me first?
Because you're a bigger dick to him than I am.
That's not true.
Oh, you want to bet $1,000?
You're better at making it seem like a joke. But
I'm making it mainly because I am. I'm joking 90% of the time.
We're both joking.
I mean, to be fair, what I said didn't need to be said.
To be fair, I want you to murder Matt first.
Oh, okay.
Because that'll give me a chance to run away. That's why I want him first.
Okay. To be fair, I'm going to kill you if you say to be fair again.
Yeah.
Then you won't have to kill
me. You've got
to
stop saying it. I know this isn't the beat up on Elliot minute, but
it's the 10 minutes.
Garen, you're not helping. You've got to stop saying to be fair.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Garen's he's on the way to killing us, so just kill him first.
Who, kill Garen?
Like when he gets up to come over here, he has to go by Garen, so he'll just...
Yeah, but you and I don't want to die.
I know,
yeah.
but if he kills Garen, then we know what's going down.
I don't
want
to kill Garen.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to kill Garen.
Yeah, Garen's got his own problems.
He's piling on.
Garen hasn't done anything.
He did. He piled on.
He piled on
in
his defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was snide.
It was snide. It was a little snide.
All right. Kill Garen. Let's do a podcast called Kill Garen.
Kill Garen.
Yeah. I think that seems to be very successful.
And we could get Karen Kill Garen to toast.
Oh, that's a good idea. Is she related to Paul Gilmartin?
Yeah, they're cousins.
And Laurie Kilmartin.
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Cross-legged on the floor. Here, I'm going to tell you this over the music so the listener doesn't hear it. When I come to you right now and say, what's going on? I swear to God, if you say nothing, I'm kicking you in the fucking face. Garen sucks. Hey, Garen, we start with you. What's going on, man? Anything? What have you been doing?
I've been... We're in some dark times, so I've been going back to watch things that bring me joy.
Example.
Mainly 80s movies. So I've watched all the Back to the Futures movies.
Okay.
And the first three Indiana Jones movies.
Do you like all of the Back to the Future movies?
I do.
Are you alone in that? I know some people don't like that Western one.
I love that one.
I like that one. I like the second one that's a mess. Because the second one's basically not a movie. It's just a connector.
Mm. Oh, is that right?
The first and the third one.
They're all three the same movie.
Yeah.
Beat by beat, they're the same movie. Yeah. And
2 and 3 were shot at the same time, right?
Yeah, because they had the trailer.
The little trailer for the third one is at the end of the second one. Right. It's weird.
Which has the end of the movie in it, by the way, if you notice.
I don't
pay attention.
Well, you wouldn't know that if you haven't seen it.
I loved them. And I loved
Are there
them
four of
much.
Them?
Three. No.
There's just three.
Three and a ride.
Hmm? Oh, or the Universal?
Yeah.
All right, so
it's
three.
Not there anymore. But.
Yeah, but they're really well. I mean, they call to each other really, really well. It's.
What do you think of Michael J. Fox? You enjoy him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I saw a thing recently. Did I say this on the show? I don't think so. It was an interview with Leah Thompson.
Oh.
And she was, they asked her about the whole, what am I blanking on the guy's name? Eric Stoltz.
Oh, yeah?
You know how they shot for 6 weeks with Eric Stoltz?
Yeah.
Like they almost finished the movie with him and then
so
fired
what does
him.
She say in 2024? Well, I assume it's a dated interview.
I think it was an old interview. Yeah, she looked pretty young still. But
how do they handle that?
I don't. Well, she said something very interesting that I'd never heard before. An anecdote that I thought was really interesting. I mean, first she talked about how Eric Stoltz was very method, and he refused. He would only answer to Marty when he was on the set.
Okay.
So she didn't say it, but she implied that that was maybe annoying to people. But the thing that she said that I thought was super interesting, which was that when they did the first table read of the script with the whole cast, they finish it and, you know, it's a great script. And so everyone's like, yay. And the mood is great. And someone said, what'd you think of it, Eric? And he was like, well, I think it's a tragedy.
Oh no.
And they're like, what? He's like, well, this boy, he returns to a family that he has memories of a life that they don't have. They lived a different life than he did, and they don't remember his life, and he doesn't know their life, and that's a tragedy. And everyone's just like, okay. And the thing is, and what Leah Thompson said, and I'll back her up on this, he's right.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right.
It's almost an edible tragedy even.
Right. Well, certainly with all the weird sex stuff with his mom. But yeah, but it's, the movie works despite that weirdness, and the fact that he was only looking at it from a deeply, I don't know, like...
Did he know it was a comedy?
I'm sure he knew that, but I just don't think he's not capable of operating on that wavelength.
Like, so they still, but they went for 6 more weeks?
Right. After that happened, they were like, this will be fine.
That's our guy.
And I'm sure they probably felt like, well, he's
an actor.
He's an actor. He's going to do his job. He's going to do the script that we give him, and then it'll work. But
and if there's pathos in comedy, you're not necessarily losing.
One could also think, well, Christopher Lloyd is bananas.
He's off the wall.
Christian
yeah.
Glover is bananas.
Right.
And if Eric Stoltz, like in the way that Leslie Nielsen plays it straight on Airplane, if he's playing it straight,
he's grounding it.
It'll work. But clearly it didn't.
But the story never acknowledges that tragedy. That's the problem with his theory, is that when he comes back, he's not a fish out of water.
It's not about that.
Yeah.
That's not their take on time travel. Their take is his life got better because he was able to inadvertently fix something in his parents' past. Yeah. And that's a very 80s, actually, a very 80s notion that, like, because the whole thing is they're sort of, they have shitty jobs and their life kind of, they don't have a lot of money and their life kind of sucks. And then because he gave his dad confidence at the age of 17, his dad becomes a successful novelist and then they're wealthy and he can buy him a truck. It's a very consumerist 80s idea that happiness can be obtained by monetary success or financial success, whatever. And everyone was on board with that. I was like, yeah, that's fucking great. That's the happy ending you want out of this movie. That's frivolous.
Money helps.
It does help.
It does help.
Yeah. What does Ariana Grande say? Anyone who said money can't solve your problems must not have had enough money to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
She's very wise.
Very wise. Ariana Grande.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glinda, they call her.
They call her. She's right from that witch movie, huh?
Yeah. Did you say Glinda or Galinda? Because it's both, but where do you fall?
Let the people decide who I fall. I think when my you views mumbled, are obvious.
I don't even know what it would mean to call her one or the other. Is there a political
maybe
side?
I only saw up to the part where she decided to change her name, and I didn't even know it happened. You ever think of that?
I didn't.
What's going on, guys?
I don't know. Glinda versus Galinda.
You know what we're talking about? Well, in The Wizard of Oz, her name is Glinda.
Glinda, the good witch.
In Wicked, her name is Galinda. But then at the end of the first movie, at the end of Act One, I guess, in the play, she decides to change her name to Glinda. Somehow, I guess I don't know why they decided to call her Galinda to begin with, but then they decide, having made that choice, they're like, well, now we have to explain why she's called Glinda in Wizard of Oz.
It's just a pronunciation thing, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't read the book, but is it the same reason?
I don't know.
I don't remember that part of it.
If they even do that.
Isn't it the movie someone calls her Glinda by accident? And
goat
she
can't
she,
say...
Right.
Was saying Galinda.
Right.
And she's like, well, actually, it's Galinda and or whatever.
So it is political. She's siding with the animals who are being persecuted.
In his honor, she changed it to Glinda.
But also kind of performatively, if we really want to dig into this.
Yeah.
Well, everything's performative with Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about the character, but yes, that's true also. They're both. That's why she's good casting. She fits that.
I can't decide if she's a good person or not. I just can't figure it out.
I can say that she's probably at least half the time unpleasant to be around.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think.
Wait, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I can't. I truly cannot.
Oh, you truly
tell.
Can't? Well,
I can't.
I'll help you with that. She's broken up multiple marriages and relationships.
There you go.
That's life. Things happen.
And then, And then
someone argues she's bringing joy to somebody else's life.
Okay, I guess
it just seems like you might meet her on a day where she's completely, you know, chill, at ease. You go have some food, everything's fine, and then like the next day, where's my fill in the blank?
Yeah,
she's like, oh, well, I can't. Then I can't do anything.
Right.
Like that's never having met her. That's my gut.
And that's probably true of almost every single person that became famous and wealthy as a teenager.
Sure.
In the way that she did.
She's also a billionaire, right? Isn't she? Or no, that's Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez is a billionaire from her makeup line. Yeah, I don't think.
Is that true? I did not know that.
She was just.
The end of last year, I think, happened. Yeah.
And we've decided that Taylor Swift is also a billionaire?
Taylor Swift is a billionaire.
Well, she better be if Selena Gomez is.
But the difference is Taylor Swift literally made $1 billion from her music.
Right.
Like from her main career instead of like, because Rihanna's also a billionaire, but again, that's from creating Fenty, which is like a wildly popular makeup line. Right. So
very smart.
Yeah, no, great business move and good for her. And actually, I give a lot of props to Rihanna because she filled a gap in the market. Like she made makeup for brown people and that didn't exist. I mean, it existed,
it's
but it wasn't good makeup. And so she saw that and was like, well, people like me should have good makeup, and it made $1 billion. So good for her.
Because different skin tones have, you know, different requirements.
Totally.
It's like the same thing in a way, when you shoot people with cameras and light them, people with very dark skin, it's a whole other set of parameters from somebody who's light skinned or pink skinned or whatever.
That's been driving me crazy on my New Girl rewatch. I hit I don't know, for whatever reason, there's like two or three episodes in a row where they're just lighting for the white people, and Lamorne Morris is almost in, you can't really see him. Yeah. I'm like, this is fucking terrible. Like, how did nobody notice this and address it? But
I'll say this about lighting in watching the 70s shows and even the 60s shows, where they clearly did not care as much as they do now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So much better. It's okay to see shadows. Yeah. It's okay.
Naturalistic.
It's naturalistic. And so now when you watch New Girl or Oliver and Danielle or watch kind of what Garen's with, they're watching they're watching Friends because it brings them joy. It's too perfect.
Yeah.
There's no shadows.
Right.
You know, if somebody walks in front of somebody, you know, you don't see the shadow move with them. It's like, so you know that 10 minutes was spent adjusting,
flags and shims and screens.
Yeah, it's I've said it before. There's shadows of life, baby.
That's right. Burt Reynolds taught us that.
Just dumb.
Well, have you ever seen? There's a documentary, probably 20 years ago, that came out about the history of cinematography, and it's a great documentary, even if you only care a little bit about that kind of thing. But they talk about how in the 70s. People like Coppola and Scorsese were really pushing the limits of how unlit things could be. Mm-hmm. And they show this one scene from The Godfather where you're like, it's basically you're staring at a black screen.
Oh, is that right?
There's almost nothing in the frame. You're just like, what the fuck? But that was aesthetically where they were at. They were like, we want to, you know, see how far we can take this approach because, you know, it's partly technologically. In the early days of cinema, you needed a ton of light to get an exposure on early film. So they would light the fuck out of movies, which is why early movies, especially movies from the 30s, when they perfected that, everything is overlit. Yeah. It's super lit. They didn't really have, until they started making film noir stuff, like you didn't really have shadows and you didn't start playing with that as much. But I mean, a few movies probably did, but it just was not the style. And so then it had to swing the other way where people were like, well, we're reacting to that, or we're sort of making our own statement about how we do it. And I think it goes back and forth all the time. And I think Friends is a sitcom, so you could argue it should be.
I'm saying Friends was the example. It's everything.
There's I think that's like right now we're dealing with this, what's happening in streaming. Like there's something that people call the Netflix look, like everything they produce kind of looks the same. And it's shitty. Like it doesn't look good.
Are we past the what is it? Aqua blue and orange grading.
Oh yeah,
era?
That was a big thing in the early 2000s, right?
Where people's skin is sort of often is pink and orange, and then what they'll do is the opposite on the color wheel is like a greenish blue,
right?
And so it creates the most color contrast between
like
that.
Think of the Matrix. The way Matrix looked is a good example of like super green.
Yes,
blue.
Yes. I saw the Matrix poster. Never saw the movie.
Never saw the Matrix.
No, never saw the Matrix.
Really?
The first one's good.
That is an all-timer, The Matrix.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think I'm saying anything shocking, but
that's it's an unpopular opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
You so you like
the stand, guys? Taking a stand on the Matrix. It's fantastic.
I don't know. I think you probably made the right decision for yourself at the time, and I don't know if going back and watching it now would do anything for you. But I watched it with Charlie like 6 months ago, maybe, and he was just kind of like, "Yeah, all right." But
I mean, everything they did is already kind of gone passé.
It's it's on TV shows.
Everything they did has been overdone by a thousand other movies.
You look at the intro for this program, and we are doing our version of Bullet Time.
Yeah, we did that.
I don't watch it. I don't watch any of the program. I don't care for the host. Anything else, Garen, before I move on to check in with the Vowel Face?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm going to watch more. I got to gear myself up for Indiana Jones 4.
Oh, boy.
But
yeah, that one's not good, right?
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Crystal Skull, is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah. And I suspect it's not as bad as I remember it being.
Don't go into that.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay.
Suspect it's horrible and hope for the best.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's I think it's horrible.
Maybe. Take some pot.
Hey, did you play that?
That might make it better.
Hey, the square has spoken.
Okay, Uncle Elliot, I'll take some pot.
Take a pot blunt and... Did you play that? I know Paul F. a few weeks ago was talking about the video game. Did you play that?
Which
Matrix
one?
Matrix video game?
The new Indiana Jones
game. Indiana Jones.
Oh, it's excellent.
It's not... is it on PlayStation yet? I know it's coming out, but... I think it's Xbox exclusive, right?
Yeah, because PC. It's Bethesda and
right.
Xbox owns them. I don't think it's going to go.
No, they did announce that it will eventually be on. Anyway, but that looked like, I like an idea where like, let's tell another indie movie, like a story like the movies would be, but just do it in a video game. And
it's really well done.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I was worried about it because it's first person.
Yeah.
And that seemed weird, but it works and it's great.
Cool.
And it's very satisfying to punch a fucking Nazi in the head.
Especially now.
Disagree. Yeah. Ellie, what's going on?
Howdy. Hi.
Hi.
What the hell?
Who are you today?
Are you just gun shy from all the tongue lashings?
Maybe that could be part of it. I do regret having
agreed to that.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on?
So recently I was going through some old photos.
Yes.
And I had a box of photos from my dad's house that I hadn't gone through yet. And there were some photos of my sister doing gymnastics. There was a letter from my mother's mother apologizing to her. I don't know when she sent it. It was kind of, I'm still mad at her and she's dead, but,
you did not care for your grandmother.
On balance. Yes. Yeah. It worked out that way. But there were also some photos. So there were some photos that my dad was like posing and I was like, what's going on with the posing? And then, one of them had, something on the back, and they were dating photos.
Okay.
I probably from after my mom died, I would guess. So this would be the 90s. So that was...
He went to a dating place.
Yeah.
Like,
and these are like...
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you meant he was out on a date.
No. These were photos to go on a dating, the equivalent sort of a dating service. App, a
yeah.
service.
Yeah.
And the thing of it was, like, I look at these photos like, did he... like pose for a Sears catalog or something, because that's what it looked like. Right. He had like a kind of a sailor's outfit. Oh, not boy. Like a sailor's outfit, but like the components added up to, oh, you want people to think that you go on boats. Like that's
well,
how
he was in the Navy.
He was in the Navy and is very very big part of his identity. And then I'm a little nervous to say this, but there was a little envelope that had some smaller photos in it, and I opened it up and they were nude pictures of my mother when she was pregnant.
Oh no!
What?
No warning on the. On the envelope.
No! Oh, when she was pregnant
with, I think, me.
Why are there prego photos?
I mean, they're my dad's photos.
I understand, but what a specific shot.
Here's. Oh, you know what? I bet. I was trying to think. Well, how did he get those developed? Because this would have been 1969, 70, somewhere in there. I bet it would be 1970 because I was born in September. So I bet he got somebody at 20th Century Fox to develop them for him.
Oh, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yeah. As opposed to...
You can't bring him to...
1 hour photo.
Yeah, photo
Polaroid match. Or whatever it was, photo yeah. Match, yeah.
I've seen plenty of films where the people who work at those places get excited when they get photos
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he did just take it to...
Or maybe he didn't want
to. But they're not supposed to, right? Wasn't that the yeah. premise? Or they're supposed to...
I wonder.
I mean, I guess you could have known like a place that you go to and you're like, hey, there's some cool. photos on here. you know, don't make your own copies of kind of situation.
JR's Music Shop in Lincoln Mall was next to a photo shop like that. And I do remember, and I don't remember the answer to this, but I do remember that that was a conversation in the 80s. People would bring their photos and they would have to blah, 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 blah.
Either, like, say what was in the reel, in the, or the roll?
They would have to tell the person, like, here's your photos back without the other ones because we're not allowed to do those.
Okay.
I want to say that was the case.
That seems possible. Because
I can get an answer on this because I know my friend Elisa is friends still with the guy that worked there.
In the 50s, I'm almost certain you could not develop those photos.
Right.
If you took them and distributed them, you might get arrested.
Yeah.
Actually taking the photos. In the 60s, I kind of guess it probably changed. So I don't know in 1970 whether that would have changed or not. But because my dad had the ability to go to somebody on the studio lot, I'm almost positive.
Isn't that really worse in some ways? Like a coworker?
Yes.
Like, hey, I got some pictures of my naked pregnant wife. can you develop them for me? Like that, I would not want someone I work with.
Unless you had something on them.
How naked?
Naked.
100%.
Like, I mean, what do you define as naked? And don't make me say it.
What kind what kind of poses are we talking? I mean,
they weren't.
Are they tasteful?
I would say tasteful.
Okay,
but nonetheless, do you want to see tasteful nudes of you?
No, I don't.
No,
not. No. No.
So I guess the real question is, then what did you do?
I put them back in the envelope. I put them in the bottom of the box, and I decided I don't know what I'm going to do with these yet.
Oh, I got an idea, but
I'm not giving them to you.
Oh, okay, that idea's off the table then. Well, then blow them up and poster size and put them around the house.
I mean, look.
Art exhibit.
Yes. Irma will enjoy it.
Today.
Did you tell Irma?
Yeah. I didn't. I said, do you want to see them? She goes, no, I don't want to see them.
No. The answer to that is no.
I mean, look, there are people who take photos now of that type and they're celebrated. But none of those people are my mom.
Right.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know your mother, obviously, but I do not want to see pictures of your mother. Any pictures of your mother.
What? Well, that seems a little harsh.
No, I want to be very clear on this. I never want to see a picture of your mother.
All right. I can't guarantee that.
Yes, you can.
I mean, I don't know. There are pictures, you know, in the world.
I don't think I've ever seen a photograph of your mother.
Probably not. I have a photo of my parents from like 92 maybe that's on my wall. And I think that might be the only picture that I have of either of them in the house.
Well, now I got these new ones.
Right? So you looked through all of them. You looked through the whole set.
Well, it was there. I kind of like I saw the first one. I kind of fanned them,
and then very quick.
Yeah, right. They were the same. Okay. There wasn't there was one pose that they were going.
So there
for.
Wasn't like your dad didn't pop up in one of them.
No. Although,
oh no.
Here's the thing. I saw more of my father
sailor's
naked.
Cap.
Nice. I saw more of my father naked in my life than I ever saw my mother.
Well, there was a thing. Being a son, you'd go like when I would go to the health club with my dad.
Yeah.
And you'd be changing.
Yeah.
That would happen.
Yeah. My dad would do it in the house.
Oh, no.
My dad would take a shower and remember something and then walk around.
No. Jesus. Put a towel on, Mr.
Please. Hoberg. Please, Peter.
That name doesn't help in this scenario.
No, it really doesn't.
Scenario.
Yeah,
please,
I didn't like
Peters.
It.
Peters.
What's that?
Please, Peters, with an S at the end because there's two.
You were hot at the top of the show.
I blew my load.
What happened? Speaking of blowing your load. I got some photos for you.
Hey.
Wow. He's gay. Doesn't care.
You brought it up.
To him, they're arts. Those are art.
Yeah.
Those are art.
Good
sentence.
Look, can I see it in my mind's eye now? Yes.
Yeah.
Are they nice photos? They actually are. Like, they're not
right.
Intended to be salacious.
You got a stairwell in your apartment, right? Goes up to the loft. Am I right?
Yeah. So you should put it on the wall right there?
Sure.
Just a sequence.
Right up the stairs. Sure.
Just a bad
sequence. Idea.
Sure.
Garen's got some good ideas today. That's one of them.
That's good. Great. Great idea. Great.
He's got that. He's going to watch the fourth Indiana Jones. Now this. He's got two great ideas.
Well, I don't know which is worse.
Are you talking about my mom?
It's still Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you brought it. Remember, the topic is your mom.
Yeah, I know.
You brought this up.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to play it?
It's
awful that those pictures exist. We can all agree with that, right?
I think what we're all doing is we're putting ourselves in that position.
Yes. Yeah.
And it would be awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at this. Oh, old box of photos. This is going to be great. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
I also discovered when my mom passed away and I had to go through some boxes, I discovered some letters that I hated that I found them. It just mm-hmm. like it, those were personal letters, mm-hmm. and you feel the need to read them because like, oh, should I, is this important? She kept them for this long.
Right.
And then I'm reading like halfway through, like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I've just gone into private affairs of like it's, mm-hmm. but
I'm sort of split on that because like there are numerous questions that I don't know about our family that maybe it would be nice to have had a chance to ask my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you know, we weren't chummy. So, so if I found like this apology letter, if I found right. something like that, I think I hear what you're saying as far as like respecting their sort of privacy posthumously.
I don't know if I'm respecting the privacy as much as I don't want to know it.
Yeah. Cause to me, I think if I thought there was a chance that I would get some kind of a view, like my mom and her mom got into a fight about my older half sister, and I don't really know how it went.
Mm.
The letter did not help with that.
Right.
But if it had, that would have been very useful. I could have talked to my sister about it because it was an opaque fight. And then we never saw any of my mother's family again.
Mm.
So that kind of stuff, I think I would push through.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And you've learned one thing about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
He likes a tasteful nude.
Oh.
All right, we got to go. Mm-hmm. We got to scram. We have a time restraint here today. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for subscribing. And all that. Ring the bell, as they say over there on YouTube. There we are. So on behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, look over there. That's Garrett Cockrell. We have Video Village. There he is, the son of the tasteful nude photographer. Elliot Hopper, the Honcho Matt Belknap. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.